21 to 24 for a few moments under the title of Heart Worship. We have seen previously how Judah viewed the temple of the Lord, the Lord's house, in verses 8 to 10. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. They have desecrated the holy place. They had set up idols in God's house. They had burned incense, as verse 9 tells us, even unto Baal. They carried out their cultic rites within the precincts of God's holy temple. They had broken God's laws, thereby violating the covenant between God and themselves. Yet they trusted in lying words. They stole, they murdered, they committed adultery, they swore falsely, burning incense to Baal and worshipping other gods. And yet when they came into God's house, they believed that they were being accepted of God, that they were delivered to do all these abominations, no matter what they did, stealing, murdering, committing adultery, swearing falsely, burning incense, and worshipping other gods. Yet, coming into the temple, God's house, they believed that they were being accepted by God. And yet, as God tells them in verse 11, this is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes. Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. He's accusing them of making his house into a den of robbers. As one commentator said, they have profaned God's house by making it a place of retreat between acts of crime. Simply going into the Lord's house and performing their religious duties to them seemed to be sufficient. No matter what they did outside, no matter what commands of God that they had broken, simply coming into his house and performing acts of worship, God would receive them. This building that they came into had been erected at God's command to his glory. Here is where God was pleased to dwell, so surely he will not leave us, he will not abandon us, and give his holy temple over unto his enemies and our enemies. This is the temple that God has built. This is the temple where God is pleased to dwell. And as long as we were in the temple, and we came and worshipped in the temple, everything would be all right. They sought and found comfort and safety in these lying words. And no matter what they did, no matter what their lifestyle was, in coming into the temple to worship, everything was all right between them and God. And then turning to verse 21, what added to their confidence was that not only was all well by them coming into the temple, but God was pleased with them when they carried out religiously those very ceremonies that God had instituted, the various sacrifices and the various peace offerings and the burnt offerings and the burning of incense. In doing those very acts of worship that God had commanded them, they thought that, well, you know, where are we going wrong? Surely everything is fine and God is accepting us, and God is pleased with us. We're coming into his house, we're coming into the place of worship, and we're doing those religious duties that God had given to us. Surely that is pleasing to God. Yes, they were coming in to worship God, but they were coming into a place, into God's house, a place where they had set up other idols. Verse 30. The children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. Yes, they were coming to worship God, but did other idols in the temple as well that they worshipped. Not only were they worshipping other idols, but they were taking those ceremonies that God had given to them, and they were giving those ceremonies, they were acting those ceremonies out towards these idols. Verse 9, burning incense. Burning incense was something that was done in the temple as part of the worship of God, but they were burning this incense unto Baal. And verse 21, they were bringing their offerings and sacrifices to God as well. The very fact that they were coming into the temple, the very fact that they were performing these religious ceremonies, they thought was grand. Everything was fine. There's nothing wrong with that. God would be accepting of these things. But they were trusting in the very location itself, the temple of God. They were trusting in the actions that they carried out in that temple, the rituals of worship. They weren't looking to worship God there as their God. They were looking to the place of worship, to the building. So here we are, we're coming to this building. Surely God is pleased with that. Here we are going through the ceremonial religious rites. Surely God is doing that. As long as we come to the place of worship, and as long as we do this and that and the other thing, that's grand, that's acceptable. What's wrong with that? As long as we are in the place of worship and performing the duties of worship, surely that's all that matters. With all the idols that they had set up in the temple, they were, to use a modern contemporary term, inclusionists. They included all these different idols. They had Baal and Chemosh and Ashtaroth and Molech, as well as Jehovah. So they were seeking to worship all of these gods, all of these idols, and Jehovah, the one true living God, all together in the temple. They were being inclusive, catering for every social, religious, and minority group. Everyone can come into the temple and they can worship whoever they wanted. There was only one problem with all of this that they didn't consider. That while they were doing all of these things, and while they were thinking that this was all grand, because we're in the temple, we're in the Lord's temple, and we're doing these actions that God had given to us, God rejected their offerings. God rejected their sacrifices of worship. Matthew Henry says that the temple would not protect them while they polluted it with their wickedness, with all these different idols in the place. And their sacrifices would not atone for them while they went on in their disobedience, stealing, murdering, committing adultery. They were thinking that regardless of everything else, as long as we came into the place of worship, as long as we did those things that God commanded, everything was fine. Everything was grand. But that's not how God saw it. Verse 11, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers? They had made his house, God's house, that's called by his name, they had made it a den of robbers. God would not accept that. In verse 30, they have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. That house, that temple of God, they have polluted with their abominations. God would not accept that. They may have put great store on the place of worship. They may have put great store on the practice of worship, but they had forgotten God himself. The place and the practice have become an end. We're coming here and we're doing this, and that's all that matters. The place and the practice, the outward practice of worship. That was all that mattered. So what is God saying in verse 21? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. What is he saying here? You can make all the sacrifices and burnt offerings that you want. You can do it as many times as you like. You can do it every day of the week if you want to. But keep it all to yourselves. Serve them up. Serve these sacrifices, these burnt offerings. Serve them up at your own table. Sit down and eat the flesh. For they are unacceptable at God's altars. Don't bring them into the temple. Don't bring them onto the altar. Bring it onto your own table at your own home and eat the flesh, because that's all the good is going to do you, is to feed your belly. It'll satisfy your physical needs, but it has no spiritual benefit whatsoever as you carry on doing what you're doing. So God was rejecting their burnt offerings and their sacrifices. Jeremiah 6, verse 20. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. May have satisfied them, but it was not satisfying God. It was not acceptable to God to come into his holy temple and to carry out the religious ceremonies that have been set down in the Word of God, believing and trusting in those acts themselves, but not in the God to whom they're meant to be offered unto. Not in the temple that you have polluted with all these idols. Not coming to the temple having committed all these sins, thinking that in doing so, everything else be forgotten about. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. He's had enough of them. Bring them no more to him, he says. In Hosea chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, they sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it. But the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his maker. So they're offering sacrifices unto the Lord, but the Lord does not accept them. And he will remember their iniquity and he will punish their sins, because Israel hath forgotten his maker. And buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. They were offering sacrifices. They were going through the ritual, but God says they had forgotten their maker. They had forgotten God. Simply going through the motions does not mean that they are actually worshipping God. In Amos chapter 5, verses 21 to 27. I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. So they're offering God these burnt offerings. They're offering to God these meat offerings. But he says, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thy away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. Don't sing unto me. Don't sing praises unto me. I will not hear them. Rather, let judgment run down as waters. Let judgment run down. Don't let the blood of bulls and goats and everything else pour down, but let judgment run down. Do that which is right. Obey the commands. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Let that run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Worship me. Don't worship the idols. Take Baal out. Take Chemosh out. Take Moloch out and throw them out of the temple. Let righteousness come down as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Kion, your images, the star of your gods, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Instead of worshipping him in righteousness, instead of doing justice and keeping the commandments, he's going to cast them off for their idolatry. So even their religious practices that they're claiming is coming onto him, he doesn't accept them because their heart is full of idolatry. They had forgotten him. They had forgotten their Maker. So in verses 22 and 23, what is the essence of worship? What was he requiring of his people in terms of worship? For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. He didn't tell them to engage in burnt offerings and sacrifices. That was not the essence of the covenant. But this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. It wasn't sacrifices, it wasn't burnt offerings that he established as basis his covenant with him, but obedience to his word. Obedience. Obey my voice. Obey my commands. Obey my precepts, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways I commanded you, that it may be well with you. It wasn't the setting up of sacrifices. That came later, but the essence of their worship of God, the essence of that covenant that he will be their God and they will be his people, is that they obey his voice and follow in his ways. And in walking in all the ways of God, there will be this blessing, this benefit, that it may be well unto you. That was the essence, that they obey his voice. In Jeremiah 11, verses 1 to 5, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. Disobedience brings a curse from God. Cursed be the man who obeys not the words of the covenant. The covenant was one of obedience. what they did not obey. And therefore, God's curse is upon him. Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them, according to all which I command you, so shall ye be my people, and I will be your God. That I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, so be it, O Lord. That they would obey his voice, do all that he commanded them, then they would be his people, and he would be their God. And he will keep his promise and bring them into that land flowing with milk and honey. But cursed be the man who obeys not the word of God. We can go back to Exodus 19 and verses 5 to 8 to see what God had said to them. Exodus 19 verses 5 to 8. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Obey my voice. That's what God commanded of them. No mention of sacrifices, they weren't offerings. They were to obey his voice. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. They were to believe it with their heart. They were to live it out with their heart. They were to obey it with their heart. Not outwardly, not worrying about the building or their acts that they perform, but they were to obey the word of God from the heart, to believe it, to embrace it, to delight in it, and to do it willingly from the heart. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, that's the verse that Christ quoted. In Matthew 22, verse 37, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. It wasn't religious practice. That comes out of it. But the very essence of it was to love God. Heart, soul, and strength. But what about all these other gods? Surely if you're doing that to God and have all these other idols, surely that's okay, isn't it? Well, verses 13 to 15 tells us something different. Deuteronomy 6, verses 13 to 15. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only. Him exclusively. We're not to be inclusionists, to bring in every sin and wickedness and idol and so on. We are to exclusively fear the Lord thy God and serve him and swear by his name and go not after other gods, the gods of the people which are round about you. So we're to worship him. We are to obey him. That was a message that Samuel brought to King Saul in 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." They were to obey God. But Judah was more concerned about coming into the temple, because they were committed to the temple. As long as they were in the temple, then that's fine. And as long as he brought all these sacrifices, that was fine. But it wasn't. They were focused upon the place and upon the action, the outward action. But God commanded an inward heart obedience. Psalm 51, verse 16. "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." In Hosea chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. "O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Desired mercy, not sacrifice. And the knowledge, the reverence, the fear of God more than burnt offerings. I would rather you delight in mercy and that you reverence and fear my name, rather than come to me with all these burnt offerings. So that was what God told them. That was the message that he gave to them. But what was their response? Verse 24, "But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." They would not listen. God had set it down for them very clearly. Obey my voice, obey my words, keep my commandments. But they would not listen. They wouldn't even turn their head towards God to pay attention. They would not hearken, nor incline their ear. They would not even pay attention to it. They would not look in his direction, but rather turn their heads away from him, turn their backs upon God, for their heart was far from God. They may be in God's temple. They may be performing the rituals of ceremonies and sacrifices and burnt offerings, but their heart was far from God. The outward action meant nothing. They walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart. God, who had made the earth for our habitation, that we dwell in it, that we would fill it. God, who has made the air to breathe that we might live. God, who has given us food to eat to strengthen us as we carry out our daily tasks. He has done all of that, and we benefit from it. and we're blessed by it. So what would make us think that his good and wise counsel would be so detrimental to our welfare that we would walk in the counsels and in the imaginations of our own heart, our own evil heart? The contrast between verse 23 and verse 24 is striking. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. The blessing and the benefit of obeying the commands of God. In contrast, in walking in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, they went backward, not forward. They came under judgment. They went deeper and deeper into sin. They were ripening themselves for God's judgment. There was cursing and judgment upon them. They were going backward, turning away from the benefits of God, the one who not only gave them the earth, not only the air to breathe, not only the food to eat, but had kept his promise and brought them out of that iron furnace of Egypt into the land of promise of flowing with milk and honey. He had done that. He had kept his word. He had been true to his word. They had received that and benefited from it, but now they're going backward. Now they were turning into deeper into sin. And the curse and the judgment of God was about to fall. Walking in God's ways, that it may be well unto you, a blessing and a benefit. But they turned to their own counsel. They turned to the imagination of their own evil heart. And so they brought in these idols into God's holy temple. And so they stole, they murdered, they committed adultery, they swore falsely. Judgment coming upon them. And surely we can see this even in our nation today. We don't want God's counsel. We don't want the wisdom of God. We're going to follow our own wisdom. We're going to follow in our own ways. Look where they're leading us to. It seems this world has gone crazy. But it's an attitude that can affect the church too. Looking to the world. God said in Deuteronomy 6, verse 13 to 15, don't go to the gods of the people around about you. Don't go to the evil imaginations and the counsels of the people around about you. But that's the problem that the church faces. They seem to be adopting the ways of the world. Going back to the idea of inclusivity, the church is being encouraged to find room for those who adopt and engage in sinful practices. We must let these people in. We must receive them with open arms. We must love them. We must be like Judah, adopting and engaging in the sinful practices of the idolatrous nations around about us. But that resulted in burning their sons and daughters in the fire. Verse 31. They have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. So we're doing the very things that were not in God's plan at all. It was not in his heart. But they adopted, engaged the sinful practices of the idolatrous nations about them. And the church has been encouraged to do the same. These sinful practices that go on in the world, you must be open to them. Don't judge them. Don't hate them. Open unto them. Let them have a place in the church. But the church has to live out verse 23. not verse 24. We're not to engage in the practices of the world, that who walk in the counsels and in the imagination of their own evil heart, but we are to walk in the ways of God, obey His voice. He is our Heavenly Father. We are His people, bought by the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to walk in His ways. Yes, the world is full of sinful and wicked people, and yes, we are to love them. But love is in itself exclusive, not inclusive. Because as 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6 tells us, charity, our love, rejoices not in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth of God's word. That's exclusive to me. I don't know about you, but it seems exclusive to me. It rejoices in the truth. It does not rejoice in iniquity. It makes that distinction. And so the church is to rejoice in the truth and all that is good, all that God has given, all that God has commanded, and cannot rejoice in iniquity, that evil, that counsel and imaginations of the evil hearts of those in the world around about us. And we cannot separate love from truth and truth from love. The world may like to do that, but we can't do that. For Christ told His disciples in John 14, 15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And then He puts it in reverse in verse 21. He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. So love and truth are inseparable. We cannot divide them. Yes, we are to show love to sinners in the world around about us. But we don't love them by embracing their sinful, wicked lifestyle, but by bringing them to Christ and to His gospel of salvation. We love them by calling them to repent of their sins and trust in Christ, that they in turn would hear and obey His voice, that they would walk in His ways, that it may be well with them. Ultimately, verse 24, a lifestyle that is guided by verse 24 ends in hell. But a lifestyle guided by verse 23 ends in heaven. It will be well with you, well unto you. That blessing that ultimately leads to being in God's heavenly throne, heavenly place, heavenly temple, His heavenly home. Whereas that lifestyle that people follow, the counsels and imaginations of the evil heart that go backward, ends in the very depths of hell itself. So Judah erred in that they embraced the sinful ways of the nations round about them. The church cannot embrace the wickedness of the world around about us in the way that Judah did. And when we come to the place of worship and we carry out the practices of worship and expect to be at peace with God, if we embrace the wickedness of the world, we bring their wickedness into the church, we may be in this building, we may read the scriptures and sing psalms and everything else, but if we bring the wickedness of the world into the church, we cannot expect to be at peace with God. And surely the judgment of God will fall upon us. We have to leave the wickedness out. We have to hold to God's ways. when Satan tempted Christ to fall down and worship him. Christ has been here. This is nothing new. And he knows that, and he's been there. He's faced with Satan, who tempted him to fall down and worship him. Worship anything but God. And Christ replied, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." We cannot be like Judah and embrace the sinful ways of the world around about us. But to worship the Lord thy God and serve him, we're to worship God, not just in the place. We're to worship God not just with those religious practices, but we are to worship God aright from the heart. To love him and to serve him and to worship him from the heart. That's what Judah did. They sought to worship him, but it wasn't from the heart. It wasn't out of love for him. They focused on the place and on the practice. But we, as a church of Jesus Christ, to get the place and the practice right, we have to have the right heart. To love the Lord thy God. To love his word. To obey it and to live it out. Obey my voice, and I will be your God. And ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word. We turn to our psalters, to Psalm 119. Verses 11 to 16. And the tune is St. Paul 116.